All right, take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Hebrews this evening. And shifting gears a little bit from this morning, and so we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 12 and preparing for revival. Revival's coming tomorrow, and I'm just excited. We've never had revival actually right after Easter before in transitioning, so I think that was of the Lord, just really looking forward to what God is going to do in hearts and lives. And tonight we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 12. And the thought has been over the last few weeks and just looking at all the preparation and all the things going into today and going into revival and a lot of moving parts, a lot of different people have given a lot of themselves in order to see all of that happen. And we're going to be looking at tonight at what are you offering? So as we prepare for revival starting tomorrow, let us consider what we are giving. And I'm not talking about monetarily tonight, but what are we giving of ourselves? And there's going to be some questions that are asked in the message tonight. We need to make sure we know the answer to these questions before revival begins. And of course, we've been praying and preparing. And to be honest, revival can start right now tonight and carry on through the week. And I think revival has already been taking place in people's lives and hearts. I know the Lord's been stirring my heart. So tonight, let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. We'll look at the first two verses. If we could stand together out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Hebrews 12, beginning in verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so tonight, what are we offering? Are we offering what's left over? Are we offering our best? And so tonight, let us pray and let us answer some of these questions together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless tonight, that, Lord, you would help me to be clear in the message that you've laid upon my heart. And, Lord, our hearts are full, so full of thy glory and thy majesty. So thank you for the blessing of music and how it prepares us for this time. And I pray to you, Lord, that it would be a time of introspection. It would be a time of examining ourselves. And, Lord, that will be a time of you speaking to our hearts. Bless, I pray, tonight's message, and I pray that you would give me the right words to say and clarity of thought. Hide me behind the cross, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message tonight is, What Are You Offering? And so the structure of tonight's message is three questions. And so we look at Hebrews chapter 12, a familiar passage of Scripture for those of us who have been in church any length of time. And really, when we look at this and we see verse number 1, the idea that wants to be communicated here, remember that in New Testament times and Bible times, much could be described through the Roman and the Greek athletic games. And so this idea here is that just as we sit in the stadium to observe a sporting event or track and field, whatever it is, that there are those that are watching us, and we're compassed about. And the idea is that the grandstand of heaven, those that have gone on before, are watching. We don't know how all of this works, but the idea is here that we are compassed about. There are those that are watching us, and in order to effectively run for the Lord and effectively to serve Him, we need to do some things. And one is, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And if you're in any type of athletic venture, whether it be football, whether it be soccer, or football in other countries, but soccer, we call it soccer here in the United States, track and field, you play golf. Yes, golf is a sport. I know some people think otherwise. You know, whatever sport you're involved in, the goal, at least it should be, is to win. Amen? Right? That way we want to win. And the only way that you're going to win is by giving your best. Doing your best. Whenever you see track and field run, whether it be the hurdles, we look at those times, and you know, like today, we're seeing wonderful exhibitions of musical talent and also of a lot of hard work. But behind all of that is hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of practice. A lot of practice. Why? So that they could do their best. And so that's the first point tonight, a question. Are you willing to give your best? Are you willing to give your best to the Lord? And I'm not talking about just the best of your finances or the best things that you own. The best thing that you can give the Lord is yourself. But are you willing to give Him your best? Now, our passage speaks of laying aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Are you willing to give God your very best to Him? You know, there's things that we do. Maybe it's a project. Maybe it's something at work. And you give and give and give. And if we're not careful, we can give our best to so many different things that we're unable to give our best to God. There's nothing wrong with working a job. God wants us to do our best in all areas, but when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to spiritual matters, when it comes to ministering for Him, does God get the leftovers or does He get what is first? In the Old Testament, there is the offerings of the Old Testament. We don't have time to get into those. Very instructive. When giving something to God, when it was either, whether it was a trespass offering or a sin offering, the wave offering or the free will offering, all of those things, that there were some requirements. And one of the requirements was that whatever you're giving, it had to be without blemish. It couldn't have any illness. It couldn't have any sicknesses. It couldn't have any scars. It had to be, whether it was a bullock or a lamb or whatever it was, had to be, there was always this phrase, without blemish. It had to be the very best. We also see the principle of the giving of first fruit. It said the firstborn were given to the Lord. We see the first fruits of all of our increase was to be given to the Lord. In every area, God gets what is best. Why? Because it's reasonable. Look at Romans 12. So let's turn over there for a few minutes. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse number 1 and verse number 2. Are we giving our best? And many times we intend to give our best, and we start out giving our best. But why we have revivals? Because there are things that can enter into our life. There are things that can enter in to distract us. They could be good things, but they're things that are taking away from us giving our best. We live in a society that so clutters our lives with so many different things. You can literally die of busyness in the United States of America today. If you allow yourself to be so overcome with the busyness, and as the command that we're as soldiers not to entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life, and Jesus even giving of the parable of the sower and the seed, they're overcome with the affairs of life. And we can become so overcome with busyness. I encourage you this week, take some time to reflect on what God is speaking to you about. Take some time to be quiet, and it's hard sometimes. Our family, we live in a small house. It is hard to find a quiet spot, okay? When you have four boys, you know, two of them, you know, at home, one's at school, and then you got a baby, and then we got everything else going on, you got a dog, guess what? Find the time to be quiet before the Lord. Maybe it has to be at 5 o'clock in the morning when everybody else is asleep. Has to be in our house because our kids, 7 o'clock on the button, kids are out of bed. That's just, doesn't matter if they went to bed at 4 in the morning, they're up at 7. We need to have a time of quiet before the Lord. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let's pause for a moment. Why is it reasonable? We looked at it this morning. Jesus gave all for you. Jesus gave His life for you. Amen. Jesus suffered and bled and died for you. He gave His very best. He gave His life for you. What is reasonable for us is to give our best to Him. And be not conformed to this world. What does the world say? Oh, you can, you know, just give a little bit. Just put your time and punch your church card. every Sunday morning, right? Punch your soul winning card, punch your ministry card, and I did my bit for the week, I did my little thing, and whew, that's over. But is that really giving your best? Just doing, but not having a heart for it? That's how the world does things. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So are you willing to give your best? And what, there's other things that go along with that. But let's think in our mind, and only you can answer that question. Say, yes, I'm standing before the Lord, and I know that I'm giving my very best to God. Paul could say that. He said that I have fought the fight, I have run the race. What is he saying? I didn't leave anything on the table. I gave it all. I did my very best for God. I pray that would be our desire, that we'd give our very best for God. And that brings us to our second question tonight. Turn to Genesis 22. Turn to Genesis chapter 22. First, are you willing to give your best? And say, okay, I'm willing to do that. Number two, are you willing to give what God asks of you? So what do you mean? Well, if God asks you to give something or to give up something, are you willing to do that? And Genesis 22 is the account of Abraham and Isaac. And something that was done to build the faith of Abraham, to show the power and might of God, to show the provision of God, but was a test of faith, a test of Abraham's obedience, a test of unthinkable magnitude that God was asking Abraham to take his son and to sacrifice him to Jehovah God. Now, we know that throughout the Bible that God never condones human sacrifice. It is not something that he condones, but Jesus did give himself as sacrifice for sinners. But this was a foreshadowing of that, but he asked Abraham. You have to understand the context here. Abraham had been childless for his whole life, and at 100 years old, his wife 90, Isaac was born, and was their only son. He was the promised son because God had promised Abraham that his descendants would be a mighty nation. And of course, we know Abraham tried to bring into an heir in his own way through Hagar, but God had a plan. And God now, Isaac was now a young man, and God told him to go and offer him upon the mount. And so let's pick it up in verse number 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called upon him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Now, during this revival time, I don't believe God is going to ask any of us to go take our children out and offer them for sacrifice, okay? That's not what I'm saying. I am saying, is God maybe going to ask something of you to give something for His glory? Maybe to give up something or to give something. Maybe it's to give your life to the ministry. Maybe it is to dedicate your children to serve Him. I don't know what it is. But if God is speaking to you about it, are we willing to do it? If God is laying upon your heart to go to do something for Him, to serve Him in some way, or to give something to His ministry, whatever it is, are we willing to do it? Abraham had so much faith, it says in Hebrews, that he knew that even if he killed his son, that God would bring him to life again. Because Isaac was the son of promise. Just as Jesus was the promised Messiah, Isaac was the son of promise. And Abraham believed that he would raise him to life again. What faith. I look at this situation, like, unbelievable. Be able to take one of your children, not only that, but just the precious son that God miraculously had come and to take him and to lay him there, but also look at Isaac, how much he trusted his father. I don't know about you. If my parents came, it's okay, son, we're going to tie you up here and we're going to do this and we're going to sacrifice you a sacrifice. I think I would have run, okay? But the amount of trust that Isaac had, he trusted his father, and Abraham trusted God. Do we trust God that much? Do we trust him that much? But God, I don't understand how this is going to work. It doesn't matter. Trust him. God doesn't show us the full picture. He has us follow him step by step by step. And that brings us to the third question tonight. Are you willing to give yourself to him? Look at Mark chapter 8 and verse number 34. Mark chapter 8, verse number 34. As Romans 12 speaks of being a living sacrifice. We can't do anything for God here on this earth if we're dead. But he does wish us to give of ourselves. What are we giving? Are we willing to give whatever he asks us to? Are we willing to give our best? Are you willing to give yourself to him? I said, yes, I'm willing to give God my best in this area, in this area, in this area, but not this area and this area. I'm willing to give, but just not all of it, because that's the last holdout I have. I have given almost everything to God. I've surrendered almost everything, but in this area, I'm still the boss of this area. I've given God everything. I'm doing my best in this ministry. I'm doing my best over here. But maybe it's the area of prayer. Maybe it's the area of personal devotions. Maybe it's the area of faithfulness. Maybe it's an area of your life that perhaps you have a weight and a sin which does so easily beset you, and you're willing to give everything except that. Mark chapter 8 and verse number 34, Jesus had some instructions for those that would follow him in discipleship. The oft-repeated phrase throughout when he was calling his disciples said, follow me. Remember the rich young ruler? He said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? You know, what do I lack? And told him, basically told him this, that need to give all and sell to the poor and what? Follow me. And what was the problem? His riches. The problem, all the things that in his heart were important to him, to give everything, to give his very best, to give what God had told him to, and to put all his faith and trust in Jesus, he was unwilling to do that. Went away sorrowing. And Mark 8, verse number 34 says this, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, also he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny himself, you know, if you read those words, that is not friendly words. Those are not friendly words for the flesh. Because the flesh wants to satisfy itself. You know, when we're hungry, we eat, right? I hope we do anyway, right? When we're thirsty, we drink. Those are just basic things. But there are things we desire, and those things that we want to, things that we enjoy, things that bring us pleasure in our life. And Jesus is saying, there's going to be times that you're going to have to say no to yourself. To say no to what you want. To say no to what's important to you. To deny yourself, but follow me. What we're doing there is a shift. A shift with what's important to me. Because our opinions are important to us, aren't they? At times, they can be important to us. What we think, what we desire, our dreams and aspirations, all of those things that are important to us, what we desire in life. I'm not saying we're desiring bad things. You know, we look at things like, well, I don't desire bad things. I'm not greedy or anything like that. We desire good things. We're even things that are pleasing to God. But some of those things aren't for, maybe they're not for you. Are you willing to give yourself to that? Are you willing to deny self and say, Lord, not my will, but thine? That's the example that Jesus gave when praying in Gethsemane. not my will, but thine. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine. Whenever we come to a situation, to a decision, Lord, not my will, but thine. Are we willing to ask that question this week? Lord, not my will, but thine. What do you have for me? We will have revival if we are inviting God to work in our hearts. Our heart, Lord, my heart is open. I want you to work in my life. I want you to do something in my heart and in my life. Are you willing to give yourself to Him? Are we willing to cast all those things aside and to be acceptable in God's sight? You're going to be challenged in areas this week. There's going to be areas and things that Brother Ross is going to preach on. And all I've told Brother Ross is our theme for the year, seeing Jesus. That's our theme for this year, being visible Christians. As it passed that, brother, you pray about, let Lord lead you wherever He has you preach. And there's going to be areas in my life, there's going to be areas in your life that it's going to get uncomfortable. The Holy Spirit of God begins to step on some toes and maybe a few fingers too. And we have a decision to make at that point. Okay, well, I hear what He's saying, but that, you know, I don't need to worry about that. Flesh doesn't want to give up those things. The flesh doesn't want to lay those things aside. But are we willing to have that? We have this decision already made. So, nope, I made a decision. Whatever God convicts me about, whatever God shows me, I need to act on it. Are we willing to do that this week? If there is something that's in the way of our path of taking up the cross, what will you do with it? Take up your cross daily and follow Him. Take up His cross. That's not an enjoyable statement. Remember, cross is a picture of death. Everybody in the Roman world knew what a cross was. It was a place of execution, a place of agony, and a place of death. So what is being said here? Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. What was Paul's secret? He said, I die daily. Dying to self. Dying to my desires. And when we do that, I said, well, man, I'm going to have a miserable life because I don't do what I want. Let me tell you something. There is no greater joy than living beyond yourself. Some of the most miserable people you'll ever meet in your life are people that live for themselves. But when we live for the glory of God, and when we live for the glory of Jesus Christ, and we live to do the will of God, that brings such joy and peace and blessing that this world can't touch. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing? Maybe you used to have the joy in serving Jesus. You know, we used to say, there's joy in serving Jesus. Joy that throbs within my heart. Have you lost your joy? You can get it back this week. You can get it back right now. We lose our joy in serving Jesus when we stop serving Jesus out of love and we start being mechanical. We lose something there. We lose the heart for it. But what are you willing to give? What are you afraid God will ask you to give? You know, sometimes we get afraid. What if God asks me this? Is God asking you that? Well, I don't think so. Then why are we worrying about it, right? What if this happens? What if? Just make the decision. Doesn't matter what God says or asks to give. He is worthy. Amen? Is He worthy to be given your life? Yes. Is He worthy to be given everything that you have, your very best? Absolutely, yes. So tonight, I encourage during invitation time, let's spend some time in prayer tonight, begging God to work in our lives. I want to share this with you as a testimony before we close the service tonight and have our invitation time. 10 years ago in this very auditorium, Saturday night before Easter, 10 years ago, I stood right here, and I walked this auditorium and I prayed. I said, God, I don't know what you have in store, but God, would you do something great? Would you do something great? I don't know what you have in store, but I want you to do something great. Would you do it? And I begged God to do it. And He did it. Amen. Now we're in a different place. He also wants to do many more things through all of you. Are we willing to pray that same prayer? God, do something great. And whatever you have for me to do, I will do it. Lord, whatever you want me to give, I'll give it. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. If we are open to that, God will send revival to this church and will equip us for service. Are we willing to do that tonight? He wants to use you, not somebody else, not your neighbor in the pew, not, oh, those people over there, those are the type of people, you know, they have the background and they have all of this. No, God wants to use you. Will you let Him tonight? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless our invitation time tonight. Lord, what are we willing to give? And Lord, we give ourselves to you anew. And the revival doesn't have to begin tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. It can begin right now. And in many ways, it has already started in lives. But Lord, are we willing to see you work in our hearts and lives? I pray that tonight we are, and I pray that tonight we would beg you to work in our lives, in our families, in our children, in friends and family, even in those that will be visiting this week, dear Lord, that are lost, that you would work in their lives and they would call upon you to be saved. Lord, use us in a greater way than we've been used up until this point. And Lord, I pray that you would bless this invitation, that our hearts would be open to you, that we would not close off a section or a portion of our heart, but that we would give every single part to you. And Lord, that we not be taking it back, that we not give it and take it back, Lord, but give it to you. Work in our lives. Show us, Lord, where there may be some weights and some sins that we need to lay aside tonight, getting ready. And Lord, there's going to be areas you challenge us in all week long. And Lord, I pray that we be willing to lay those aside. We pray, Lord, that you bless this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed tonight, we're going to sing our hymn of invitation here in just a couple of moments. But maybe there's an area of our lives that perhaps we know we need to give to the Lord tonight. Maybe the Lord's already been working on it tonight. Maybe He's been challenging you this week, maybe even this morning, or maybe even this very afternoon during the sermon right now, that the Lord is challenging you in some areas. You know what? There's some weights I need to lay aside. I don't need to wait for a sermon for revival. I know that God is working in this area of my life and my heart, and I need to get those things right. So as the instrumentalists play tonight, are we willing? What are we willing to offer Him, to give Him our all? Are there areas we need to give to Him tonight? Maybe there's some things we need to confess to Him. Maybe there's some things we need to confess to each other. Are you willing to give Him your best? Are you willing to do that tonight? Won't you come? Their altars are open. Let's take our hymnals 477. Channels only. Let's sing together. Let's spend some time in prayer tonight. 477, channels only. Thank you. thank you for being here tonight, and pray we get home, get some good rest. I know it's going to be a little bit of a long week, but God is going to bless in a special way. Don't forget to be inviting, mention to people, hey, why don't you come back for revival? Come back and hear the message. We're going to hear some great music. We're going to have two other churches, Northside Baptist Church and Burnett, going to join us tomorrow night, and Freedom Baptist Church is going to join us for most of the week. So we're going to have a good number of different churches here. Praise the Lord for that. And praise the Lord for like-minded believers that we can fellowship with. Amen. And invite your friends out from work. Invite them to come as well. Preacher, you don't know my friend. You know, no, just bring him. Amen. Let God work in their hearts. And we're going to have a great week together. So let's pray and be dismissed tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your power. And I pray that we would leave all on the altar, on the sacrifice laid. Dear Lord, I pray that we would do that. And help us, Lord, to be a blessing to others. Help us to reach out to others as we are inviting and re-inviting this week. I pray that we would see people come. And Lord, that you would work in every person that comes to revival this week. That you would work in our hearts and work and renew us for service so that we're energized, dear Lord, and that we're excited about what you can do in lives. And Lord, that you want to use us. Lord, it's so humbling to think that you want to use old cracked clay pots like us, dear Lord. We're sinners saved by thy grace. And you want to use us. Lord, we're humbled. We're undeserving. Lord, we want to do our very best for you. Bless us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.